Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Barbie and Gloria. They are like a couple in my mind. Barbie had no interest in Ken, but her whole world lit up when she saw Gloria. You saw it.
Two moms. Took her to the gynecologist appointment. I don't know. That's pretty canon to me.
Right? It's canon in our minds, in every mind of all the queer people of the world. Barbie's gay. It's canon.
She left the Barbie world. Like, yeah. What up, Cabrona?
What's poppin', Chingona? It's been a very long time.
Yeah, like my podcasting equipment is dusty. So clean this up a little bit.
So much has happened. You like new jeans now and you're a world traveler again. Tell us about your travels.
Oh my god, that's where we're starting with that. Okay,
we can just, yes, I want to know.
I went to New Zealand. I mean, I guess here, this is what this is really is all our excuses why we've been gone for so many months. I went to New Zealand for 2 weeks to watch the group stage for the Women's World Cup. And yeah, it turns out that New Zealand is probably the best country ever.
Ever.
Like, coolest place I've been in my life.
America is very easy to beat, though.
It is. But, I've been to a couple of other places. And yeah, they don't have anything on good old New Zealand. I loved it. I might be biased because, one, there was, football everywhere.
Of course.
Two, it was wintertime in the summer. And that to me sounds heavenly. I love
winter.
You
experienced a season other than spring.
Yeah. I do experience winter every year, but this time I get to do it twice. And that's just, that's nice. I love that. Yeah. And it's also just like a very, it's very clean. Everyone is so freaking nice. Listen, I got a tattoo on my last night there.
Wait, what? Let me see.
Yeah, here, I'll show you.
It's you got New Zealand tattooed on
you?
I
got New Zealand tattooed, yeah.
Oh, shit. You're going to live there when you get old. You're going to retire in New Zealand.
I want to live there now, but I can't. But on my last night, I got this tattoo, and, I went up there. They did it, and I was, about to pay. They don't take credit cards. So they're like, okay, we take cash or, whatever. And I was like, oh, I don't have any cash on me. And they're like, okay, well, yeah. I mean, if you go down the street, there's a ATM or whatever. I was like, you're just going to let me go?
Wait, what?
Yeah, they just, let me, fully leave. They didn't even know my name. And, they fully trusted that I was going to come back. Because that is the nature of New Zealand. It's trust, honesty, and kindness.
What?
Yeah.
That's insane. They just let you walk away. Didn't hold your ID.
Nothing.
We need to all get tattooed in New Zealand.
Yeah,
no, well, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really quite an experience. It's the only place that I've ever felt fully safe at all times. Middle of the night, walking home from the bar, feel safe as hell. And I got into strangers' cars and I would go to beautiful places and I'm not exaggerating.
What? You got into a stranger's car
multiple times.
Did you just meet them?
Yeah. Yeah, at halftime, mm-hmm, at the game. And then they were like, you want to go to another game? And I was like, yeah. And we went to a city 2 hours away and we watched another game. And and then another time I got in a different stranger's car and we went to go see a black sand beach. It was the most beautiful thing I've seen in my entire life.
Did you get to meet locals out there or was it mainly the people? Okay.
Well, then I met a local in a different city and she drove me around Wellington. I felt like fucking Lizzie McGuire in Italy. It's incredible. All of this feels to me like a story that I've been telling 100 times. But to be honest, another thing that has happened is that I started another podcast for...
Ooh, shout it out. Do the commercial.
Wow, the commercial. Go. Well, Poderosas FC Radio is a podcast, of course, about the Poderosas, who are a supporting group for ACFC, my soccer team. And they're a community that is so, they're just so lovely. They're just so passionate about what they do. And everyone in part of the group, they contribute to society in a way that I can only aspire to. Like, they're great. Wow. So we started the show. We started highlighting our community members and founders, mm-hmm. and talking about football, of course. Mm-hmm. So a part of it was that, like, I've also started this podcast. And why did I mention this? Oh, because I was telling the story on there when I came back from the World Cup. And mm-hmm. yeah, now it feels like it's rehearsed, but yeah.
It's not. Go.
But if you like football and you like the World Cup and you want to hear in more detail the story of me being in the World Cup, go listen to our latest episode. I think it's called Football Sin Fronteras. And okay. Yeah, it's good.
What days does it come out and where can they find you?
It's on everything, right? Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Boleros SFC Radio. We'll put a link somewhere. What was the other rest of the question?
New episodes come out on what day?
Oh, right. So we don't have a set schedule. What mm-hmm. we kind of do is try to post a regular episode in between home games. So right now our home games, we only have like two left. But we also post crudos after every home game. So we record live from after the stands after the game. And talk to... It's loud and it's rowdy, but it makes you feel like you're there. So I think like that's a really cool vibe to capture. And it's a really good time. And I'm really happy that I'm doing it because I like love this community and I love this team. And yeah. Anyways, if you're into it, check it out.
Yeah, and if you're in LA and you want to roll deep... Hit up Maite and go to a game. It looks like a lot of fun.
It is. I can't wait for like maybe you and Glow to come through and check it out one day because I think you'd like love it, honestly.
Wish the same for you. Like, I'll go to a football game with you if you come to a Dallas Wings game because they just made it to the playoffs.
I'm down as fuck. Are they gonna be still playing at the end of September?
They're still playing right now. They made it into the playoffs. So, like, yes. In like, September, I don't know. I got to find the schedule. We have to go to a game. I hope they're still having them. We'll figure that out. But, yeah, if you're down, hit up Maite. Go to a game. Like, I've seen the, like, crowd. It's insane.
It's awesome. So we have sellouts. And right now, we're on a really, really good run. We've got 10 games unbeaten. Like, unheard of.
Oh, my God.
In streak. And we're really, really close to making playoffs. So... I feel like we're really on brand because like the movie we're gonna talk about today is all about, not all about sports, but like the sports are in the background where it's like we have a big game coming up, like
yeah.
So stupid.
And we're talking about games. I love this.
Games and gays.
I love it. Sports ball gays. I think we've slowly become more into sports ball.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of lucky for us because I mean another we haven't been recording, but it's not because of the strikes, but there are strikes going on right now, and what's going to be happening soon is a very huge drought of TV shows. Yes. And you know what we're going to still have is our little sportsy sports, so
yeah, there's still sports. And well, Neon and A24 are still making movies because they've agreed to everything that
the SAG rules,
the writers, everybody, everything that the rules are, they've agreed to. So I don't know, it's looking kind of dim for 2024 and the rest of this year, but I don't know.
If they're already written, of course they can still make those movies because of SAG, but yeah. Writing wise, they you know, everybody's like fully striking, but we'll see how it goes. But I mean, so much has gotten canceled. I don't know how personally you've been affected, but How I Met Your Father just got canceled.
Oh, I saw that. That's like a very you show. What else is they canceled, though? I haven't really...
A League of Their Own.
Oh, my God. That was... Oh, my God. Yeah.
It is because, like, I mean, for one, it was going to get canceled anyways, to be honest. But, like, we were just going to get a little conclusion, a little tiny baby conclusion, and we're not even going to get that. It's very upsetting. Even. Yeah.
I don't know, dude. I feel like for us, we've seen it so much, even since we started this podcast, where we see something queer has like, well, we don't even know how many like views they get, right? Because that's the problem
with streaming.
These giant studios not allowing anyone to know how they're keeping track of numbers. They just like pull things out of their ass and decide, you know, they make up the rules as they go. And it sucks for everybody involved because creativity gets lost in that, you know, like, there's so many interesting stories that are started getting told and then they just go away. One Day at a Time, League of Their Own, Warrior Nun. What else?
Oh, which by the Warrior, I mean, I hope this this news is true, but mm-hmm. Warrior Nun is getting a bunch of movies to conclude really? The series. Yeah. They they don't know the details. They haven't announced like, hey, is everybody all the cast coming back? But yeah, they're having some movies to conclude the series. So that's like a big win if it goes through, right?
Right. Yeah. God. Well, guys, everyone listening, wish us luck because it's gonna be a drought. But I mean, there's still plenty of queer things that a lot of queer things have been coming out in this summer and. We haven't covered that's not the best kind of coverage, but the ultimatum, the queer ultimatum.
The reason that I watch bad reality TV is to make fun of it. So when it comes to making fun of our own people, our own lesbians, our own queers, it hurts me too much. I couldn't watch it. I couldn't get through it.
You couldn't get through it?
It just makes me sick to my stomach. I'm like, God, what are we doing? I thought we were better than this.
What, dude? Me and Glow were like, lesbians were made to be on some drama ultimatum reality show because besides the problematic people from that show that are bad people and they should work on themselves, but the rest of it, I don't know. Lesbians have drama, dude. Lesbians are the best people to put on a reality TV show. Like, what was the other one? Tampa Bay's. And then, oh my God, the 2B one, Hoochie Daddies.
I don't even want to know what that is. I can't. I have to watch straight people be cringy. I can't do it to my own people.
Well, yeah, I couldn't get through Hoochie Daddies. It was it was very entertaining, but there was parts of it where I was just like, oh no, I can't do this. I have to. It's so bad. It's a 2B show, you know? It's a self-produced, mm-hmm. extremely low-budget reality TV show where the winner gets a trip to Jamaica in a chain. So I was like, I can't do this. Yeah, like, basta. That was the prize. I was like, I can't. It was like a Hoochie Daddy competition of, like, stud women who often were not wearing shirts.
No.
And not wearing bras. And
my God.
I mean, it's fine. It's like it's a real thing. Yeah, it's like, a real thing, and it's a very like.
Why shouldn't we have awful things just like straight people? That's kind of the theme of this episode, you know.
Exactly, like true equality is when it's both absolutely a spot on, accurate, annoying take. It's like, oh no, here I am. Like, this is it's a lot. But Hoochie Daddies, the Queer Ultimatum, which I found to be extremely entertaining, but also we've all recognized that Netflix is evil and puts everyone on reality TV shows through an extremely difficult, horrible time.
Fucked up, weird, manipulative, which, you know, if anybody has seen that show Unreal, then you know that reality TV is fucked.
It's super fucked. Like, but a lot of people were catching the edits and, you know, we can acknowledge that this is only 10 hours of these people's lives. We can't possibly, know someone completely. So I'm not trying to judge anyone completely on these shows. I'm just kind of like, you know, it's entertaining. It's something to, you know, smooth brain yourself out to because the whole day was stressful, you know. But
exactly.
But literally. I will say that one of my homegirls got posted by Mall. Like, Mall posted her comment on her page yesterday. Shout out, Brittany. Yeah. Mall, like, screen capped her comment.
Oh, Mal. What did she say?
My friend said, sweet baby black Jesus took their time with Mall. And I was like, that's how Brittany talks. I was like, that's so fucking funny. And then I saw her in the comments and I was like, dude, I see you. So shout out to Brittany, living her dream fully.
Go ahead. I actually caught like my first non-sport, non-trashy TV show in a really long time recently, or a couple of them actually. What? Have you heard about this fucking show, Special Ops Lioness?
No, of course not.
What the kind that? Of show that I'd never, but there's lesbians, so I had to. And
I love that.
It's on Paramount Plus. It's probably on something else, but Paramount Plus for sure. And it's literally about like a Special Ops fucking team. Our queen from the AMC ad is on it.
What?
Yeah, Nicole Kidman's in it.
Our Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm. She's in it, and so are, you know, Zoe's. Oh my God, what's her name? Why am I blanking on her name? Oh, Zoe Saldana.
Oh yes,
Zoe Saldana is in it. And yeah, it just like it has the vibe of like, do you remember watching like in the 2000s? Like a random show and it's like super slow burn, but eventually like something gay happens and you're just like,
oh yes. My the golden God. Age,
like the slow burn was real type of vibe. Like that's what it gives me, because you're
2010s
like, yeah, or like even 2000s 2010s, like giving like a person of interest, you know what I mean?
Oh like, my God. Yeah, that is like a CBS show in the mid 2000s.
Exactly. But you don't have to wait as long, because they're barely in the first season. First season's not even over. But I highly recommend, for those of you that are into that kind of torture. I am. So
if you like that, I think you'll like Class of 09. It's a FX show on Hulu. And it's also extremely slow burn. And it has one of the actresses from The L Word that got canceled as well. But we knew that was coming because that was just weird. And and of course, starring Kate Mara. I believe it's Kate Mara, right? Kate Mara, who, I mean, have you read Elliot Page's?
God, putting all her business out there. I'd be so mad.
Yeah, Elliot Page just told all of these other women's business. And that's, I mean, I don't know. Elliot Page got permission, you know, obviously. They weren't going to just, hey.
I mean, I hope so.
I think he did. I'm pretty sure he did. I think I saw an interview and said, like, no, like, all of them knew I was going to write about them. I told them.
Me personally, so. I would say no. I'd be like, you're not about to do that to me.
He alluded to, like, other people in there. And I'm like, huh, you were randomly having lunch with Sandra Bullock one day. What does that mean? Let's read into that. I'm allowed to, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
To ponder. I've been in a lot of blind item-y podcasts lately. That's just like my favorite shit. Like Beyond the Blinds podcast. I am a Patreon subscriber to them.
My God.
I love like...
You love the chisme.
I love chisme, and I love it when it's not mine. And I love it when it has nothing to do with me, and it's just about other people that make a lot of money and are probably horrible people. And that has nothing to do with me, so I love it.
Feel free to send through that to you whenever, because...
Oh, I'll send it to you immediately after this. I love them. I'm obsessed. There's a Rihanna episode that's like 2 hours long.
Oh, my God.
And she's exactly what I thought she is, according to these 10 years worth of blind items. So I love it. And the same goes for, as you know, Gaylor Swift.
Of course, that's how you ended up there.
I've been on Gaylor Swift for a minute, though. Since like 2014.
Yeah.
I am like an OG Gaylor. So it's kind of weird to see everyone have a take on TikTok and on, you know, blind items. It's interesting because I feel like I started reading about that in 2014 and people are just kind of catching up, and I'm happy. It's cool. We all have English minors, I guess. I don't We're all dorks and have nothing else better to do, but you know, Cosmo wrote a whole article about Gaylor Swift at this point, so it is what it is. Yeah, and it's weird to meet people that are just Swifties and they're like straight girls, and I'm just like, we believe in two different we are in two existing opposing realities, and I'm talking to you right now, and it's just
alternate
so
universes.
Alternate universes of reality. I love it. But that's a cool thing about being a human, though. So sorry we haven't recorded in a while. I in my end, I feel like a new person.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Tell us more.
Yeah, I'm on a medication that's working, and I'm like physically capable of leaving my house for like at least 9-8 hours now, and like,
damn, it's a long time,
dude, without me feeling any kind of like pain or like, you know, having all the issues that you know about. And also on top of that, like, me and you are both becoming like buff gym rats. Who are we?
Not you outing me right now.
We are in our buff era. Like, this is who we are now. We're like changing.
Yeah. For some reason, I like the gym now. I don't know how that happened, but whatever.
No, I mean, it's annoying when they're like, oh, well, you feel depressed, you know, go for a walk. And it's really annoying that that's true.
That it works.
And it's really annoying that, like, oh, yeah, I take my medication every day and I work out every day. And no shit. Yeah, I feel great now. I feel like a human. And it's really weird. So I'm really enjoying this. Like, I'm, like, completely, like, in a different vibe now. And I feel like I'm in that era of my life where, like, oh, like, I'm becoming, like, a better version, and I can feel it, and I know it for once. So yeah. That could be the medication and the gym endorphins going, but I'm in a, like, mentally good place, and it's really weird. So that's on my end. I'm glad that we took that time, because I was going to the doctor a lot. I was just, you know, going through it and trying to figure out things that work for me, and I feel like now I'm, like, in a very good place mentally, which is I didn't know I wasn't as bad as I was. And now, yeah, because I'm on this side, I'm like, oh, fuck. That was a very different feeling, a very different mental state. So I'm happy. How are you doing mentally, emotionally?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Yeah. I think, like, a lot of the people around me would have been saying this to me, and it's, you know, mm-hmm, it took a few months to sink in, but they're like, yeah, you're just having, like, a really good year. And I'm like, yeah, I am. And a part of it was a decision. Like, it was a decision for me at the beginning of the year, mm-hmm, to just, like, spend this entire year working on me and doing everything, like, maybe, like, even a little selfishly for, mm-hmm, the first time ever. And just, like, spending the whole year and just being like, yeah, I'm going to make me better and stop worrying about everybody else. And somehow that, you know, this year that was supposed to be me roughnecking it and being like, you know, really, like, basically putting my head down and doing the work that's, mm-hmm, supposed to be really hard and shit, it ended up being a year that has been really, really nice for me. Just like, yeah. So it was weird to flip that light switch, but it's been, yeah, I stopped drinking. That's been a big thing.
I'm proud
thing.
Of you, dude. That's a big one.
Yeah, especially if you heard this podcast when it first came out.
Oh, God, for both of us. Yes. Yeah. We're completely different people now. I love it.
Literally. I mean, it has been. We missed it, but it was, what, like, our sixth anniversary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Six fucking years.
It's been 6 years, and, yeah, we've changed a ton. We're in our 30s. We are mostly sober, and we are
you're,
working.
Yeah, you're out of country doesn't count for you.
Out of country doesn't count. I'm going to drink in New Zealand, you know what I mean? But yeah,
you got to do what you got to do.
But it's been a good year, and I'm trying to remain grateful, even when, you know, because not everything's perfect. I have had bad days. I'm having bad days. Mm-hmm. But I'm in perspective of, like, hey, you know what? Last year was a fucking shitty year. Mm-hmm. And we're not there anymore. And I know a lot of people are going through a bad year, especially here in LA. These strikes are really fucking people up. Yeah. And so I'm trying to, you know, be a good person to the people around me, and also keep to my word to myself of, like, being good to me, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, it's, you think that, like, oh, I'm gonna do all this work, it's gonna be hard, and then as you're doing it, you're like, oh wait, this shit, like, makes me feel better, like.
Yeah, because I mean, the, you know, at first it was really, really hard, but mm-hmm, yeah, God has it brought me so much, like, good in my life, good in my body, good in my mind. Yeah.
Yeah, like, not drinking, not doing anything, being completely sober, and, like, having no choice but to be like, oh wow, I have to really look at myself and, like, how I've been, you know, coping and using these things to cope. And it's like, oh, oh yeah. Wow, you know, it's a big difference. And, like, both of us are, usually I have really bad years and, like, odd years. I feel like odd number years are, like, the hardest years of my life. And, like, this
break the cycle.
We break in the cycle. Like, I'm over here, like, manifesting on full moons with my homies, and I'm just like, what the fuck? Who am I? Like, what is this? So it's a good feeling. And I'm also very grateful, and I'm happy to be doing this podcast. Like, I'm a different bitch now. Like, it's nice. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is a long banter, by the way, because we're only covering one thing today. So bear with us.
Bear with us.
But yeah, I'm glad to get back to this. Another part of the reason that we haven't done it is because I haven't been able to get my podcast set up together here at my apartment, because it's gone through a lot of changes. I now have new roommates who are incredible. very, very happy. Mm-hmm. And now that's why I'm in the light. You can actually see my face.
Yeah, it's not like you, it's not the Batcave anymore.
No, I'm not in the Batcave anymore. But yeah, it's going to be good. This is a new start. If you've ever seen Arrested Development, anus tart.
Oh, no. Oh, I love it.
And yeah, well, let's get into it. Let's get into this freaking amazing movie that brought us back to this podcast.
Yeah, so today we are covering that I'm so glad we're covering this, and also we are fresh off our second view as of like maybe hours before this, like literally maybe for me an hour ago.
Yeah, less than hours, like an hour and a half, yeah.
Yeah, like I think we both went to go see this movie around the same time, and we saw it early, we saw it again, that's how much we love it, and we think you should watch it, and we're talking about Bottoms today.
Yeah, not the people, but the movie.
Yeah, they're giving Bottom energy, but nah, not with these punches, not what this movie's about. Interesting name, but
yeah.
I'm so happy. It's starring Rachel Senna and Ayo Edebiri. Am I saying that correctly?
I always say Ayo Edebiri, but Ayo. I could be wrong.
There we go. It's Ayo. And I feel like this year has been the year for both, or the last couple of years since 2020 has been like we're getting to see the rise of Rachel Senna and Ayo's career. And I feel like I'm like most of my media is comprised of things they've either written in, been in, or starred in. Like it's just, I'm shocked.
Ayo, especially.
Ayo's. Oh my god.
Ayo Edebiri, you might recognize her from The Bear. She's Sydney. Yeah. And she's also in like other things right now. She did the voice for somebody in that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I saw that movie solely for her. Yeah.
And I haven't very seen good. It. And there's one other good thing that she's in.
She starred in Theater Camp.
Theater Camp. Right.
Which, by the way, everyone, go watch Theater Camp. It was hilarious. I was laughing out loud, losing my mind about as much as Bottoms.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't laugh quite as much. I like Bottoms more. But it was definitely funny and has a really fun cast.
Great cast. And she's kind of doing the same thing in Theater Camp as she's doing in Bottoms.
Sort of. I mean,
she did lie on that resume for both of those things.
Okay, oh, right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Bottoms was directed and co-written by Emma Seligman, who also did Shiva Baby. And Shiva Baby, you know, this podcast, we are big fans. Like, you introduced me to it. I'm obsessed with it. I think it's still on HBO Max. You have to go watch it and then listen to our episode on it. There's layers to that movie. It has Molly Gordon, who's also in Theater Camp. I love Molly Gordon.
She's in Theater Camp with Ayo. It's amazing. Yeah,
she's also in Booksmart.
And she's also in The Bear.
And she's also in The Bear.
I'm telling you, the universe is like, it's a map.
Not the cinematic universe, but we knew a while back, and I think we even mentioned on the podcast that Rachel and Emma were going to be working on something else together. This is what it is. This is what the baby that came out, the Shiva baby that came out, and Rachel actually co-wrote Bottoms with Emma. And they're both like, you know, NYU kids, you know, they're quirky and fun.
And the three of them are. So is Ayo.
So Ayo as well, right?
Yeah, and they all met there. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, great things happen when you really lean into your funny and your own, like, shit. You know what I mean? So I think that's what
leaned.
they leaned. Yeah. it was like written in the stars for this fucking movie to happen and bring us out of hibernation. Yeah, like a gay awakening in a different way.
In a different way, yeah. Like, yeah. I feel like they created this hyper 90s surreal high school that only exists in 90s high school, like canon. You know, like we're talking Clueless, we're talking Heather's, Jawbreaker. They mentioned a lot of
Wet Hot American Summer.
What? What was the cheerleading one with Kirsten
Bring
Dunst?
Bring it on. Stylistically, yeah. Well, that's what this movie's weird. This movie, they're dressed like they're in the 90s. They talk like they're in the 2020s.
And their phones are from 2002.
The mid to late 2000s. Well, 2000, 2007, 2008.
Well, there was a they had a pink razor. I had one freshman year of high school, so it's 2005.
That's 2007. Oh, for you.
Pink razor. I had one in when I was like 15, 16.
I thought
16,
it was red. I had a red one. And
you had a red one? I had a pink one.
Oh. Yeah. I had it, and I had it like, I think I had it like 2008, 2007. You know what I mean?
Those are cool, though. Those were like,
I still want one, like now. So I, it's fucking super veering off course here. But I met somebody in New Zealand, an actual New Zealander who had one of those smartphone flip phones. I was obsessed with that thing. I met her at the club and I immediately took it and then took
the Samsung Flip. Yeah, this is not an ad, but if it is, then let us know.
If you want to send me one, then it could be an ad.
I mean, we might switch to Android because those things are so cool.
I mean, I'll still keep my iPhone because Blue Text, but I'll use it.
Yeah, they're very cool. Anyways.
Yeah, but anyways, like, it's very confusing time-wise because, like, yeah, people are on their phones. People are always on their phones. So to not see them on their phones gives 90s. And then the phone book gives 90s.
Yes, the phone book.
Yeah.
The yellow pages? Like, what is it doing with the yellow pages?
I fully 100% before I watched the movie thought it was present time because, you know, all Gen Z kids dress like they're in the 90s now.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know if you're... I'm in uniform. 2002. Wearing my rugby shirt.
That's very 90s as well. That's actually, yeah. That's early 2000s wear of you. Like, yeah.
I would say, yeah, like still 90s, even early. 90s, like, yeah. I would say so. Yeah, so it's confusing time-wise, but it's not supposed to make sense. It's not a movie that is like...
It does not care
about
the time.
Follow my logic. Like, no, that is it's not what this is about.
Absolute suspension of reality. You don't believe any... Like, just go in. The less you know about this movie making sense, the happier you're going to be. Because if you try to make sense of it, you've already lost all the fun.
Right. And from the trailer a little bit and from the vibes of it, I think it, you know, people expected, like, a Booksmart. You know, that's not really what it is, right? It's more of like more like a scary movie satire.
Raunchy. Yeah, it's like a raunchy 90s satire, but it's not really 90s. That's not the correct timeline.
No,
like,
that's just purely on vibes. Is it 90s, 2000s? Yeah. Like on aesthetic.
Because gay people are like normal in this society, and they're just the gay. Untalented gays, ugly gays. They're the gay, ugly, untalented gays.
Yeah. So, but it's great. The cast, by the way. I mean, we've already talked about Rachel and Ayo, but we also have fucking. Hold on, I have a list here. We have Ruby Cruz as Hazel. Who,
you know her from Willow.
Yeah, if you were lucky enough to catch it before, like, didn't they, like, yeet that shit out of there?
Yeah, it's not on Disney anymore. It's
God,
gone.
That's fucked up. We also have Kaia Gerber as Brittany. You might know her from modeling.
Being Cindy Crawford's daughter.
From being insanely pretty, yeah. Nicholas, I don't know how to say his last name, Galitzine is Jeff. You might recognize this twink from Red, White, and Royal Blue.
I have not seen that.
One of the worst gay movies I've ever seen. Congrats to them for that achievement. That's it was so impressive. It was so bad. And so bad. Which I can't even talk shit because on the same night I watched that Gridiron, whatever the fuck, lesbian movie. It was even worse. It's on Tubi.
Oh, wait. Yeah, you told me about that. And I was like, it's on Tubi? I don't know.
It was even worse than I expected. But shout out to that. I love that we have bad movies.
I love it too. You know I love a bad lesbian movie.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. For sure. But now we have Havana Roseliu, and she's collectively all of our crush because,
oh, my God. Yeah.
What a stunner. Stand in line. Of a woman, like, yeah, I don't even want to get into it.
Yeah, like, that'll be this entire podcast if we both start talking about it.
And there's also Marshawn Lynch and Punky Johnson, like, as just, like,
Marshawn Lynch, Mr. G. I love him. He's perfect. G. That was perfect casting.
Yeah, I love that he's, like, sort of, like, the gauge of how the school's attitude towards feminism, because of his classroom. Because, you know, it's that trope of in every teen movie where it's like, oh, what you're learning in class totally, like, matches up to what's going on in real life. And with him, it's, like, feminism crossed out.
Who invented feminism? A man?
God. It's great. It's great. Yeah, so... I think we're about to start you know, really talking about it, getting a little spoilery. Yeah. So if you haven't seen it, mm-hmm. that's your warning. Yeah.
Yeah. We're letting you know now we're about to actually talk about plot. So
if you can call it that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's loose. It's loose. Yeah. So teen lesbian or excuse me, I don't even know if they're lesbian. Teen queer. Yeah, they kids. Are. They're lesbian. OK. Yeah. The characters are lesbians. They create a fight club so they can fuck cheerleaders. And that is exactly straight from a literal scene from the movie.
From the trailer.
From the trailer.
It's not a secret at all.
No.
So this movie, like I kind of mentioned, it's not like a straightforward movie. There's no like, oh, you're going to learn.
None of it makes sense.
Yeah, you're not going to like learn something. There's not like a deeper meaning. There's no moments like that. It's just references to other movies.
Yes.
And 30-year-olds playing 15-year-olds. Like, yeah, it's... But bell anyways. Hooks
references, yeah. But I'm a cheerleader diner references.
What? Did I miss that?
Yeah, so at the diner when Josie and Isabel were on a study date, the name of the diner is a reference to But I'm a Cheerleader. The name of the diner is But I'm a Diner. And I was like, but I'm a cheerleader because she's literally a cheerleader.
Ah, references are incredible. Okay. So the two main characters, PJ and Sydney, are these virgin losers. They sort of self-described as that. And they want to have a good year. They want to get laid. The beginning is very, like, super bad-esque type of plot. You know, like, how am I going to get laid? Let's come up with a ridiculous plan. And they did it by accident because, like, it's the people around them that are ridiculous. Like, Hazel, like, assuming that they went to fucking juvie. Jeff pretending that they, like, assaulted him. Marshawn Lynch being like, oh, you want to start a fight club? Like, all this stuff. Like, they didn't even try that hard. You know what I mean? Like, they just they just went along with it.
Yeah, the idea of a fight club wasn't absurd. That's when you knew what the fuck is going on. This is going off the rails quick. I mean,
yeah. When like PJ's in the classroom and like the whole class was like 5 minutes. She's like, "That's it. That's class." I love the breaking of reality in those moments. It's so good. But yeah, at the end of the day, they show this character PJ played by Rachel. She's not supposed to be like a very good person. She's just
not
coming
a
up
likable
with,
gay.
No. She's one of the super bad guys, right? Or at least one of them. And then Josie's the other one who is like just kind of getting roped into her friend's bullshit. But she's like a really good person. But then she gets caught up in it and starts telling a bunch of fucking lies. But
because a pretty girl looked at her, and I don't. You know what? I don't
relatable.
Blame her.
Relatable.
Understandable. It's okay. We forgive you. Josie, it's okay. Live your life.
I love that it follows all the tropey shit because like this club brings them all together and everybody is one, these cheerleaders, Isabel and Brittany, end up joining the fucking club as well as like all these other dorks, and they're like all like, oh, we're so empowered now. And like not lonely, and I'm gonna kill my stepdad or whatever.
And oh my god! Yes.
And then there's Josie and PJ who are just like piling on lie after lie after lie, and then there's like this opposite fucking plot line that was almost annoying when it would come into play because they'd be like, the big Huntington game is coming up.
Oh yeah, it was like I don't even care about
like,
that.
Who gives
at
a fuck?
All.
Yeah, but then like it kind of pays off in the end because. Whatever, you know, the thing that happens in every teenage movie happens. The two best friends fight, right? They get angry at each other. They fight each other first.
Oh, they fight first. They have to fight before, you know, they become the heroes.
Yeah. Because PJ's mad that her plan worked on everyone except for her, right? Josie hooks up with Isabel. Spoiler alert. What's crazy to me is that even though this is like a very non-serious movie, the Josie and Isabel moments were so sweet.
Those were so well done. Every single time that Josie and Isabel came on screen, like the music changed.
Yeah. It was cute. Like they had chemistry.
Yeah, they do. And I'm sorry, but so did Kaia Gerber and Rachel Sennett. They
low
made
key?
Us, they said that, I mean, okay, y'all don't want the blind items and Kaia Gerber, but I know the blind items and Kaia Gerber, so that's why I thought it was really funny that she wasn't a queer person in this. Like,
She just really likes gay porn, yeah.
She just likes gay porn, but not, like, she's not gay, and, and, yeah, she made out with, she kissed PJ's character, and okay, you know, it seemed like she leaned in.
Yeah, the whole time, like, and they were flirting, and she was getting all close, like, why do you, you know what, I do know some hot girls that have done that before, where they're like, oh, but I'm straight, then okay, then why are you leaning into my face right now?
Like, yeah, like, why did you lean in? Why are we flirting? What is this body language?
Why, like, am I in your bed? Like, let's be fucking
we could have studied on a table and been feet away from each other. Like, we didn't have to do this.
Yeah.
But I thought that was funny just because of the blind items that I know. And I thought maybe that's the irony of that. You know, is that, you know, we'll talk about that later. I'll send you that link.
Yeah, please.
So I found that to be very interesting. But we do know that Havana Rose that plays Isabel. We know that she's actually pansexual, and that's cool. And real people
thank
can't
you.
Queer
thank you
bait,
for telling.
Okay,
you know, you don't have to. You don't have to.
Yeah,
quite honestly. But
yeah, thank you for being out. You don't have to be out, and don't say these characters are queer baiting. They're just people making a really funny queer movie. Anyways, what I do want to talk about, what I thought was very interesting and kept coming up, was the characters having very honest, very open conversations about assault. And
yeah, and definitely taking away the part of it that, like, hurts to talk about, right?
Yeah, they normalize that conversation.
Yeah, and like, I think in other people's hands, it could be very, like, rough or, like, not work. But they made, I think, in my opinion, they made it work to where it's like, yeah, like, it's a common thing in this world to, like, be treated awfully.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was definitely interesting how they walk that line without taking you out of it. In fact, it was, like, the delivery, the line delivery in general.
Perfect.
In this entire movie. Iconic, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, like, absolute perfection. So shout out to them for being able to, like, yeah, bring in all those elements without focusing
in
a way that, like, ruins the comedy.
Yeah, it wasn't like an after school special. It was funny, but it carried a lot of truth for it. What I found interesting is that, like, it's clearly like a satire of, like, 90s everything and American
teenage
culture.
Movies, raunchy.
Teenage movie cultures,
right.
You know, American TV movie culture, excuse me. And for that part to actually not be satire, I thought that was interesting because they were talking about how stalking works. And that's really how stalking works. Like,
yeah.
You can't really do anything.
Like, it was true. And it was, you know, following that golden rule of comedy, like, the funniest shit is real.
Yes.
You know? And all that shit was real. And it was hilarious. But not in actual reality. But in that line delivery.
In that line delivery, you know, like, they truly, these characters, like, Hazel's character I found to be really interesting as well, because PJ and Josie are these, like, hyper real, super bad kind of characters, whereas Hazel was, like, the coolest character in the background, doing all the work, sending all the emails, setting up all the meetings, creating real camaraderie.
Finding
with these
people
women.
To go.
Yes. And
yeah.
And, you know, the fact that they kind of centered this, like, soft butch in the background, I thought that was really sweet, because her character was very sweet and very kind, and she later made a David Fincher movie club with all the girls. Did you see that part?
No, I didn't, actually.
So remember when Hazel gets beat up, she's like, they're all watching a movie
together. Oh, and she's like sitting
remember,
there
she's
bloodied
like,
up. I guess I wasn't paying attention to what they were
doing.
Yeah,
like in the first time she said it, like, she's like, yeah, I've always wanted to do a David Fincher night. Yeah, and then they changed it to the David Fincher movie club, and it's all the girls rowdy coming around her.
Yeah, all her friends.
Great.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
see the things that I did not catch.
No, that's the second watch. I was literally just, like, looking at details. The mascot having a giant penis for no reason.
So here's the fun reason that you need to watch it more than once. Maybe even a third time is what I'm realizing
right
now.
Yeah.
Because the background acting is a whole other story. It's a whole
There's
other
a universe
form
there.
Of entertainment. I went today with my friend Daniel, and he was just like, the people in the background, the people in the back, you know what I mean? Like, the whole time talking about all the wild shit going on in the background. And it even had really good continuity there. So, like, shout out to that. Maybe I'll go for a third watch just to watch the background acting, because it was insane.
So much happening, dude. There's so much. There's bell hooks references. There's But I'm a Cheerleader references. The diner. I think that was even a callback to incredibly true story of Two Girls in Love. They were also in a diner, just like studying at the diner for some reason as well. You know, having milkshakes. And yeah. It really reminded me of another movie, you know, that movie. And then But I'm a Cheerleader and Bring It On because of the weird water bottle cheerleader wet t-shirt contest. Like, I just...
Also, the way that they treated men in this movie was fascinating, right? Because you have your typical jock guy that is supposed to be the bad guy, like the big, scary bad guy. And he's basically like a soft little baby twink boy. Yes. And like, who like literally acts like he's 5 years old. Like,
yes,
he pretends not to be able to read, and like, yeah, just like
he can't count.
Yeah, like absolutely like ridiculous, like
in every way. Him being allergic to pineapples.
Yeah, and all the men in this act, like the way, I don't know, it's like they're all infantilized, and I'm saying that wrong, but like, yeah, it's hilarious, but it's also like, wow, a bit eye-opening. Yeah, you know?
They really went there with it. They really switched that trope. They flipped that trope on its head. Like the powerful people, you know, they only had one guy that was pretty scary in a cage, and he was in a cage in the whole movie. I'm gonna just say he'd been in that cage the whole movie, and I thought it was weird that it was just like, there's a guy in a cage, like, we're not talking about that. Okay. And it comes into play later, like every little thing that was in the background comes into play. Not everything, but that was a weird one. And I just feel like you do really got to watch this movie like 3-4 times. I catch something different every time.
Because at no point during this movie do you even fathom what's going to happen in the finale of it.
Not at all.
At no point, like it takes a turn. It takes a weird turn after they fight, because they have to have this conclusion, right? Every movie has to have this big conclusion, and they have to fix their relationships with Hazel, Isabel, and each other. And in a normal movie, that's through some tropey grand gesture. So in this one, I guess they somehow end up at, oh, we have to save the school from Huntington, because
murderers.
They never cared about it. They don't care about these football players. They treat them like shit. But they have to do this, right? They have to like blow up a tree.
I want to talk about how actually Barbie and this movie make really good points about how queer women. I mean, this is like, I'm taking it there. This is like me going on the tangent, but I made the connection. And it's kind of like, you know, weird Barbie saves Barbie land. Lesbians save everyone. And I think that's the trope I'm seeing in both of these movies, in Barbie and in Bottoms, is that queer women save everyone. Like, they save the men who, like, because for some reason, everything's hyper real and surreal in this world, but the machismo is very like on par with, I think, reality. They're talking about, well, not all reality, hyper reality. They're talking about how, you know, the Vikings, their home team, are getting murdered by the other team, by Huntington. Like, that's insane. They're getting murdered. Yeah. But at the same time, here come the little lesbians who are going to help straight people. They're going to help everyone get past this like machismo, but by being more machismo, like,
pull up their sleeves and get done.
They get it done. They're the ones saving everyone. And just like Barbie, it's weird Barbie who you know, didn't fall into the patriarchy and helped everyone. So I don't know. I find that interesting that lesbians save the day. I like it. I like my own mental propaganda.
But the thing is that they're not even saving the day, because they're trying to stop Huntington from like spreading pineapple juice on the other players. And like, they first go and murder them all. And then afterwards, the mom, Hazel's mom, goes and just turns off the water, the little sprinkler hose. And it's like, that's all that they had to do the whole time, but they murdered a bunch of people. And
applause.
And then everyone, standing ovation. So I love that, like, at the end of it, it was just like, I'm going to lean into this absurdism. You better not read into this. There's no meaning behind this. We're making fun of everything. Fuck everyone. Just be funny. you know,
just be funny. None of it means anything. Suspend all reality, because then there's a tree that blows up, because I don't know.
And one big ass like final reference to the way that these teenage movies end, with this like long zoom out and a bunch of random shit happening in the background.
Yeah
Like that one couple making out.
Yes And oh my god, that kiss between Isabel's character and Josie's character at the end, I was just, like, you know,
just gonna give it a little clap.
Yeah, like, we good job. I was. And then, of course, you know, PJ and Hazel also. And I was like, this is, you know what? This is like all of those tropes. I was like, is this how straight people feel in stupid, crazy comedies where like the heroes kiss in the end?
I think
And, you know, here's another little reference. Like, it's a Portrait on Fire thing, because like they weren't like, these cheerleaders were not women in distress. They're not damsels in distress. Excuse me. They weren't like needing to be saved. Like, they were all badass and kicking and killing everyone together. At
the end, right.
It was an equality there. It wasn't, you know, I'm here to save you. No, not at all.
I think what they were referencing, right, all those moments in Superbad and all these other things where the guys try to play the heroes in order to win the girls over. There's that moment where they call Isabel. She's like, do you need a safety ride? And then she jumps in there and they're trying to play the hero. You know what I mean? She's like, this is your chance. This is your opportunity. None of that shit works. Like,
none of it.
So, I don't know. It's interesting. I like this movie. I want to see it again.
And, you know, fun fact, I think Ayo is actually allergic to pineapples in real life.
Yeah, she is. She is, because Rachel Sennett and her did that interview, and Rachel, like, moved away the little glass because she was just like, oh, I think I smell pineapple.
Yes, see, I thought that was so cute.
It is. It is. See, that's where I'm like, this stuff is real. Like, the, like, cheesy moments, the awkward, like, conversations and the weird ways to try and win over girls. That's real.
I loved it. What was that? It was that scene where Isabel's in the room and she sees Jesus and she's like, I love God.
She goes, she's like, oh, I love God.
I really literally love God.
And then also when she's talking about the difference between PJ and Josie, oh, she's like, she's like, oh, PJ's so making like karate chop moves, and you're so
like, and I feel like we've all had that moment, like talking to a girl, like that's how we talk to each other. Like, I feel like high school girls do talk to each other that way, and I was like, that made so much sense. And like, and being in the movie theater watching that, the men didn't laugh at that part, but like I think I heard it was me, Glow, and like maybe one other girl that were like laughing during that scene, and I felt like that was a very like insular joke for us, because we didn't know what that meant.
I also really like that everyone had the moment to be stupid and funny. Like, Isabel did, Kaya did, like, everybody did. Every single character.
So, Hazel. Yeah. Hazel's like, just the one that throws the ball.
He's like the main guy. Nothing made me laugh
and they're
more
like,
than
Jeff?
That.
And Hazel's like, I thought that was their safe word.
Yeah. That made me laugh. No, the part where she just says the main guy made me laugh so much, because it's like, once again, like, teetering on breaking the fourth wall a little bit, the way that Rachel Sennett's character does at one point, where it's like, you know, like, the main character guy. Like, it's so stupid. It's so stupid. I can't.
I love it, because, like, people who don't know football, like, they're like, I don't know shit about football. Yeah. It's the guy, that throws it.
I'm so bad at names. Like, the only reason I know any of these names is because I wrote them down, and I'm looking at it on a notes sheet. So, like, I'm so bad at names that those aren't my conversations with people. I'm like, you know, the main guy. Like,
the main guy.
That's exactly how I talk about every single person on the television. Like, period.
We communicate like that. Like, it felt real in the way that people were communicating with each other. Like, it was ridiculous, but it felt true to life. Like, they're not often saying things that are very, like, literate. You know, they're not very, like, again, Isabel going, she's so like that, and you're so like this, and she just wiggles, and it made sense to us. But again, I love everything about Bottoms. I want to watch it again in theaters. I say you should watch it again in theaters. Like, let's all watch it.
Yeah, again. I probably will, because, like, you know, I'm probably just gonna grab one of my friends. Like, right now, I've taken, you know, now three different friends to watch it. And so I'm just going to keep doing that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that as well. You're right. That's a good plan. I'm going to do that too. Because that's what I did with Everything Everywhere All at Once. I kept like
let's go cry people. Together.
Yeah, I was like, hey, do you want to watch this movie? Oh, do you want to watch this movie again? I'll watch it with you again. Like, it was... Yeah.
Like, what are the chances Bottoms wins the Oscars this year? Because there's not been a lot going on.
No, yeah, it could win for, like, writing or something. Like, it should.
Set design or, like, costume design. It was honestly really good.
Spot on. The overalls and the amount of, like, corduroy pants that PJ's character wore.
Like, they were brave enough to both wear rugby shirts at the same time. That's so brave.
Wow, I didn't even notice that. Look at you. Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't even see that they were both wearing rugby shirts at the same time.
At one point, yeah. So I'm really excited about this movie. I think it, like, it really shows how far we've come as gays and, like, in the media and the things that we can accomplish, which is absolute absurd comedies that have no meaning.
So. Yeah. Yeah, no deeper meaning, just be entertained, just be happy, and I think we deserve to have silly, funny, goofy movies. Like, I love it. And
it's called growth. Like, beautiful.
Yeah, true growth. Like, no weird coming out, no parents, except that hot lady from Succession who was Hazel's mom for some reason.
She was from Succession?
Yes. Oh, God. Mwah. In the background, I love her.
low-key, like, screwing an underage boy, but, you know,
yeah,
nothing in this
but
movie.
She's hot,
serious.
And they made that point really great, because I've been agreeing. I've been watching Succession and seeing her in the background, like, oh, why isn't the show about her? She's clearly the hottest person in the room.
Jesus. R.I.P. Succession.
R.I.P. Succession. You're Knuff.
You are Knuff. Oh, you God. Are if the way that it took me like an entire week to get the song out of my head. I'm just Ken. Like, shut up, Maite. Like, I was so done. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it. That's what I've got. I love this movie. Go check it out. Then talk to us about it on CYC Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Yeah.
Please do. And please go watch it and tell other people to watch it. And
in
me,
theaters, don't watch it purely off of freaking clips on Twitter, because it's so much better in the theater.
Yeah, it's so much better when you can, like, recline your chair and it's a giant scream and you hear everyone laugh with you. That's worth it. I can't believe this is an ad to go to the movies, like, because, you know... Weird,
because
we
you know
hate
what?
Movie
because,
studios right
because
now.
Because we
but...
need that, all of us.
Oh my God! Yeah, like was my favorite line. Oh God, I don't even have it.
My favorite line has always been the same. It's always like, God damn it, it's slipping my mind right now.
Because
it's,
here, they are.
Because here, they are. Oh, our heroes feel like the best part of us. They're like
heroes feel like the best part. There's this other line. Oh my God. It's just while it's playing, like, I'll like finish the sentence with her. So anyways, we love Nicole Kidman. She's in our cult. She's our cult leader. What would you rate this?
Yeah, I would rate it a 10 out of 10. I have no complaints about this freaking movie, especially after the second watch. So, what about you?
Yeah, like
10 out of 10, zero cafecitos. Sorry. Zero,
yeah, I was like, okay, I'll do it different too. No, yeah, okay. 5 pan luces. This movie's perfect for what it is. And go watch this and take everyone to go fucking watch this. This is a great movie. I'm obsessed. I don't know if it's winning like an Oscar, and I don't need it to, and I don't need all gay movies to be like glances, like these women are actually like kissing each other. I could care less. Like, they're actually kissing, they're actually really sweet and cute, and they're not sexualized, God bless. Right. It didn't feel creepy, and no one was like naked for any reason to not be,
for like a not, well, other than Jeff, but
yeah, Jeff, but like he was just there,
but he wasn't like supposed to be attractive, so it's fine.
No, he was just supposed to be good at sports ball, but like, yeah, it was a perfect movie to me for what it was, you know. And I think we need more silly things. I love it. It's been a rough year. We need silly, happy, goofy things.
Exactly. So go check that out, and hopefully we'll come back soon with something else to talk about. If you have any recommendations, they are always welcome, because we're a distracted little gays. Like, we don't know what's going on. Like, tell us.
Yeah, like, we've just been like, you know, freaking listening to NewJeans on a loop, so me too.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys, thank you for listening. If you want more content, I would say go on Patreon, but we haven't posted there in a while.
We should do a Patreon coming up. I'm down to just blind item chit chat with you.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Okay, well, you know, tune into Patreon if you're already on there. Shout out to all the subscribers who are sticking with us through this personal drought.
Yes. We're coming back.
We will be back. Thank you for always supporting. And to everybody else, thank you for supporting.
Bye. Love y'all. Bye.
Bye.